The Old Testament reading is from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, verses 7 to 16. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little of olive oil in a jug. I've been gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me and from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The New Testament reading is from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 25 to 31. "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the name of the Lord." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Would you please stand for the gospel reading? The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, beginning from verse 25 to 34. Praise and glory to God. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than the clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap, or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you be worrying at a single hour by worrying at a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." This is the gospel of Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I will teach you a Maasai greeting today. So when I say Ero, you say Suba. Ero.
Suba.
Ah, very good. Men in the house, Ahu.
Ahu.
And ladies, Ayeya. Very nice, very nice. Good. As we were planning to come to New Zealand, we had to do a trip, and we were being hosted by one of our friends, and his father became sick. When his father became sick, he had to come to Nairobi because he was living up in the up country, so he had to come to where the sun was so that he could be able to get medical attention. So we needed to move and look for somewhere we could live. So we called out some friends and were able to get somebody who was, and this couple said they could host us. They are young, just 2 years into marriage. When we were going, there was a small struggle. They were basically struggling financially because of their job and everything. And the lady was looking for a job. And she had sent papers to some job places and no answers. And actually, the answers which were coming were not positive. So when they called us to live with them, we went, and the struggle was there, you could see. But we told them, don't worry. God is going to do what? Provide. Interestingly, through the two weeks that we'd asked them, we knew that in 2 weeks' time we'll get our visa, but the 2 weeks ended and we didn't get our visa. So 2 weeks were short, were very short, but long for very short, long for us, short for God. But the most interesting thing happened to this couple. As they were hosting us, the lady got a call, and she got the job that she really expected. During this time, well, there was a lot of struggle. They were thinking, what do we eat? How do we balance things? How do we go here and there? God provided more than enough. Yes. For those 2 weeks, they told me that they have never had so much food, yet they didn't know where it was coming from. In a period of 2 weeks. God provides for our needs in unexpected ways. He did for them. We're in a series on Elijah and being on fire for God. We have gone through two talks already. The first talk was signs and times. And the second one was by Fraser, and it was on trials of living by faith. My take-home was, God needs to empty you and then do what again? Fill you. So today, I talk about the widow of Zarephath. Elijah was just a man like us, me and you. If you cut him, blood came out of his veins. He basically walked like us, ate like us. He was a normal man. In James 5:17, it says Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. He was human as us. But I want to put something small. I am dressed as a Maasai. When the young warriors are being initiated to become warriors, this is the dress code that they have. This is how they go for months or even an year into the wilderness, carrying nothing else except this and a small dagger. I didn't have the dagger because of immigration. But that's all they're sent with. Go ye into the wilderness and come back as a warrior. And I was asking myself, why would I go into the wilderness and come back as a warrior? I can just stay here, I'll still be a warrior. God in different culture, teaching them the small aspects that he will provide. The truth is that when you go to the wilderness, there will be animals, they will hunt there. They light up fire in a different way. God provides for them at that particular moment where they are. They leave their homes because it's dry. Where they're going, they do not know what they'll meet. The dangers are real. But the truth is that the calling of being a warrior, is far more of honor and of greatness than the dangers you will face. It supersedes anything that you will face. That is why even for the most educated of them, they will still finish their education and go and get sent out into the wilderness. Because the calling is far greater than what is actually going to be happening. What is God doing in us in the hardest periods of life? What is God doing? God is saying, when you are in the hardest periods of life, Elijah was in the hardest period of life. Dryness, he's called upon dryness to come upon the land. No rain, no food. He's asking himself, I came from a house, now I'm seated somewhere, and it's going to be dry. I'm in the desert. I'm in a ravine. God says, when you're in your hardest periods, he is teaching you patience. What is God doing in that period? He is teaching you and me patience. He is teaching us patience. It came to pass after a while, the brook dried. What did Elijah think? Did he think that God had left him? Did he begin to make plans of how he could go back? We hope that he waited quietly for God. But many of us are in a dry brook. Perhaps you're in a dry brook. Perhaps you're sitting on the dry brook right now of popularity. The dry brook of health. Drying brook of financial struggles. You're in a dry brook financially. And it's slowly dwindling down under the demands of bad debts and also extravagance by other people. The dry brook of friendship. The drying brook of friendship. Which has been diminishing. And the dying brook of control. We love control. If I tell you that, if somebody was to tell you right now that you do not have control, and you're driving your car and tells you that you do not have control of your car, how would you feel? You're inside it, you do not have control. But truly, even when you're driving that car, are you truly in control of it? Because the car is controlled by you. But who controls your life? Who controls every piece of you that tells you that it's time to engage, to break and everything? There's something about watching the dry stream drying up that was very uncomfortable for Elijah. That is where patience and trust comes in. Some would want to walk away, but Elijah stayed because that is where God had called him to be, in that place at that particular time. It is hard to sit in a drying brook, much harder to face the God of Baal and of Carmel. Why does God let them dry up? He wants to teach us to trust in God rather than what he gives. He wants us to learn that the giver is more precious than the gift. You see, when we pray to God, we forget. We focus most of the time on what he gives us than who he is to us. So most of the times is when he gives, he is God. When he does not give, does he cease to be God? No. He remains God. He called Elijah. He brings him to the desert. Worse, makes even the water disappear, dry up. Is he still God to him? Paul writes, he learned that God's grace is sufficient in plenty and in lack. What is God doing in us in the hardest periods of life? God is growing trust in what he says and not what we see or think. He's growing in us trust, to trust him in what he says and not what we see and what we think. You see, I'm thinking about Elijah when he was sitting there and God had told him, the word had come upon him and he says, hey, I will provide for you. And here are ravens bringing food to him. And ravens to us are associated with death in Africa. When you see a raven, somebody's going to die. God is saying, I want you to trust in what I am saying to you, not what you see or what you think. Because if it was back in Africa, somebody would say, I will not eat from the raven because it's death, feeding me death. But God is saying, no, I want you to understand I am more powerful than death itself. So even I can command death to come, but it has no authority over you. Why? He commands authority. To understand that he is more powerful, he is more important than the gift itself. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, and at that particular time it said, go. Go, and God presented another channel for Elijah to learn the humility, and a new fire ignited. We are so often taken from one trial to another by God. All our circumstances are designed for one thing, our purification and transformation into Christ-likeness, godly character. Elijah sent deep into Baal worship, deep into it. He's from the desert. I'd prefer to stay in the desert because there I am safe. But now I'm being sent deep where Baal is being worshipped. Now, even to make it worse, he's sent to a widow, a poor widow, to ask for food. Then the widow is the one who's going to give him life, give him food for the period of time that God will be with him at that particular place. A short story about my dad. My dad lost his job in 1994. That's my dad. And in 1994, when he lost his job, life became really hard because he was promoted. He was a police officer and promoted to a very good rank because he worked with the intelligence. When he, as he was going, one of the bosses noticed that he was coming up the ladder and slashed him. And what happened, he hid everything, all the documents that my dad ever had. He lost his job to the point that he lost his identity. It showed nowhere in the Kenyan records that my dad was trained by the police, was in the police, or even armed with the police. They all disappeared. So we had to go home, leave and go up country. When we went up country, life was tough. He was not born again at that time. In 2001, my dad, just sitting on the bed, gave his life to Christ. And my mom asked him why. He said, I have looked at my son, my firstborn son, and there's something there that God has told me I need to have. It was in the middle of the night that he started thinking about me and gave his life to Christ. life was really hard. My dad had to work, look for... He couldn't apply any work because his documents were gone. So he was just praying. He would wake up every morning at 2 to pray. To pray and ask God, can you provide for us a meal? Just a meal. We were 4 of us. A meal for my children to eat and clothing. I saw my dad repair his shoe more than 20 times. It was torn properly. But he walked everywhere with his head held up. That the same God who gave him is the same God who was still going to provide for him. He had an injury from football on his ankle. He leaped a lot. To cut the story short, 10 years later, as I was graduating, I was in college and my school fees was really big and I had a balance, couldn't graduate or anything. My classmates were graduating on that day and they came and prayed with me. And my dad was saying, don't quit school. God called you to the ministry, don't quit. He will provide. I was like, he won't provide. You have faith, but I know where you are at. At that particular moment, I was not graduating. My classmates were graduating. At 1 p.m., I cannot forget, my dad called me. As my class, I was looking at my classmates graduate, and he said, I got a phone call from the government. They have reinstated me. 10, 16 years later, on the day that I needed school fees, all of us were being chased, the children, away from school. He was reinstated, and the government paid all our school fees. Elijah was being told, I need you to trust me because I want you to move other people. The word that I'm speaking to you, I want you to go and speak it because it's going to be life to the widow and to the children. You are in a dry brook, but what I am sending you to speak right now is going to be life to somebody else. 1 Corinthians 1:27, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Let me say, my dad was a very strong man because he was born alone to fight alone. Very strong, they would say, and a tough man. But God needed to shame him. That he who could understand that he is not strong, God is strong. That he could understand it is not his work that will feed us, it is God who will feed his children. It is not by his strength, but by God's strength. God wanted to remove any sense of pride that Elijah could do it on his own. God removed it in a man I called my dad. Humility formed. Elijah goes to this lady and asks for water. The same water he had prayed about and said, this is the water that I prayed about. I want water, lady. He prayed for the rains to stop. The same thing he asked for food. There's no food. He just prayed for 3 years for it to be dry. Do you fear of losing everything? Do we fear losing everything that we have, that we hold it very close? Do we fear of not having enough, that we even forget to go for the one who really matters, the one who supplies what is called enough? In exercising faith, Elijah was asking the widow to exercise faith and trust in the man of God. God was talking to him and was saying, Elijah was telling that lady, I want you to trust in my God. He will provide for us. And he did. What is God doing in us in the hardest period? God is understanding. God is making us understand that God's provision is day by day. God's provision is day by day. Elijah was in a dry brook. But interestingly enough, it says that he asked for bread and water. And I was thinking about these two things, bread and water. Bread is talked about a lot in the Bible, the Last Supper and everything. Water, living water. The manna fell on the desert day by day. Our bread is promised for us day by day. But is it that we also look for more? Remember, the Israelites were told, take that which is only what? Enough. If you take more, what would happen? It would spoil. It would go bad. It would be a good thing if God, we went to heaven and God complained that we did too much for him. That would be amazing. Oh, you did too much for me. You bypassed me. But we do too much for ourselves and focus so little on him. His provision is day by day. Elijah had to listen to God's word. He spoke to him. I want you to go to this lady and I want you to ask. And God says, I have spoken to the widow. Look at the connection. That this widow was in a pagan state, but God spoke to him, to her. God's word, God's provision. He says, listen to me. Elijah had to listen, and he was aware of God's provision and his words. Joshua says that we are to meditate on his word day and night, so that we may be careful to do everything written in it. Then we'll be prosperous and successful. We have many programs in the church. There's so much happening in the church. We're talking about a country where many people don't go to church. They're at home. God is speaking to you. Are you listening to his word? He's saying, I want to use you to call out to people. The food that Elijah and the widow and his son got daily was manna from God, God's provision. It was enough. It never ran out. It was satisfying to him. So satisfying that it says they had enough to eat. God's word itself is satisfying to our lives. I have a few questions that I want us to think about today. Are we going through a dry spell? Are we struggling with something? Are you struggling with something? Are you somewhere in a dry spell where you're struggling to find a job? Are you struggling in your family? Because these are the real things where God is trying to teach us humility. Are we in a dry brook? In a dry spell where there's something that is just teaching you humility all the time. It might be with family members. It could be with work. You're focusing your energy on something else. And basically, it's a dry spell. Bless you. You're struggling with self-acceptance. You do not see yourself maybe to be beautiful. To be accepted. You do not take yourself to be that person that God can use. You don't take yourself to be worthy. We don't. Are you struggling with work? Are you struggling in different areas of your life? Are you hurting deep inside. Because the Lord is saying, come. Come to me, all you who are heavy burdened, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is a loving Father. Whatever it is, I want to give you just time. I want us to pray. Because I know these are brooks that God will take us through to understand that he needs to chasten our pride and teach us humility. That he will need to chasten us so that we could trust in him. That he will need to chasten us to know that he will provide day by day. But he will also have to chasten us to learn that we'll need to read and to look upon his word. The Lord is saying, come to me. Come to me. I would want you to close your eyes, and wherever you are, and just say something to the Lord. Whatever dry place you might be, he knows better, and I know he wants to use you to move somebody, to bring faith into somebody else's life.